Book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Last week we learned St. Paul was saying, how wretched man I am. Now, here we're reading, all this happening to us because we are living in sinful flesh. If we allow Spirit to dominate the flesh, we will have victory. But if we allow the flesh to dominate the Spirit, then we will have the failure. Read the verse 4 and 5 again.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the only way we can fulfill the God's spiritual law, by walking in the Spirit. Verse 5.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Now he's saying the people who are walking after the flesh, their mind is doing the fleshly things. But the people who are walking after the Spirit, they do the things of the Spirit. So that means the fleshly mind always thinks about the fleshly things. And the person who is in the Spirit, he always thinks spiritual things. So when we are thinking about Spirit and living in the Spirit, we have no chance to let the flesh dominate our spirit. It would not happen. But the people who are Christian and they are not allowing the Spirit to rule their life, then they are living defeated life. That's why the Word of God said the flesh comes between you and God. Verse 6.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
See, carnally minded means carnal person. Thinking about the world and worldly things. When we keep on thinking the worldly things or the world dominating our life, then what? That is death. That means we are walking in death. All these people who are living, they might be healthy looking, they might be prosperous looking, they might be having all kinds of things to survive, but end up is what? Death. They are walking in death. They have no vision for spiritual. So that's what it is. The people who are walking in the spiritual mind or living in spiritual life, they have peace. So here we're seeing the spiritually minded is life and peace. When we live in spirit, we have peace with God. When we live in flesh, we are enemy to God, because we are not thinking about God. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20 and 21, if you read, it says, the wicked man is like a troubled sea.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
There is no peace to the wicked person. They are not only not having peace, but they don't want other people living in peace. So that's like that roaring sea brings the dirt to the shore and brings problem to the people. So the same way the wicked people are like a troubled sea. One person does something wrong, their household suffers, their church suffers, their community suffers, and their nation suffers according to what they do. So here says the wicked people do not have peace, but the spiritually minded people have what? They have life and they have peace. Go back to the Romans chapter 8 verse 7.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
The carnal-minded is enmity with God, means they are enemy to God. Each person lives in sin, they are under the influence and power of devil. So when you belong to devil, that means you are the enemy to God. So when we are with devil and doing his activities, so devil is enemy and we are joined to enemy, and our mind is completely sold out to the devil, that means we are enemy to God. Okay, verse 8.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
That's what he's trying to say. If you are enemy to God, you cannot have peace with God. And not only that, you are not pleasing God, but you are pleasing the enemy. So that's why he says, the how we please God, the word of God says, if you live in God and if you obey his commandment, then God is pleased. If we do not obey God and if we don't do the things of God, God cannot be pleased. So here is the word of God says, when we don't walk according to the will of God and we walking according to the flesh, we are not pleasing God. Now these people who are not pleasing God, they are living in sin, and then come and pray to God, God is not going to listen. Read Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
That's why God doesn't hear, because people live in sin. They live after flesh, they enjoy the worldly life, and then they come to God, somebody is sick, or somebody has a problem, or they need a job, or they need a car, they need this, that, and they say, I'm going to pray. And the prayer doesn't answer. And they say, why God is not answering? He said, why I'm not answering? I'm not deaf, my hand is not shut, but your sin coming between you and me, that's why I cannot hear. That's what the word of God says. If you live in the flesh, you cannot please God. If God is not pleased, he's not going to hear our prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him.
He's talking to the believers. He's saying, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. What does it mean? He says, if somebody says, I'm a Christian, and if they are not born again, they are not Christian at all. Some people say, who are you? Oh, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic. Are you Christian? No, I'm Catholic. They don't know what Christian means. Christian means born again. In Antioch, first time, they said, these people are Christians. Other people notice. These people are followers of Christ. These disciples, when they were talking and they said, these people were unlearned, uneducated, but now we know they were with Christ. How they got wisdom and knowledge. So people should notice us that we are born again children of God. Then how it happens, once you receive Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son together, they come and dwell in you. People do not know. They say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't come yet. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God comes. Says in the verse 9 itself. If so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. First of all, he says the Spirit of God dwells in you. And he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now people making that Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ is one. It's not one thing he's talking about. He's talking about once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? We can call God Abba Father, right? He says, John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, as many as received him, whom? Jesus Christ. To them he gives power or authority to be called the sons of God. So you cannot be calling God Abba Father until you receive Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, now you are a child of God. Now you have the Spirit of God. Now you can call Abba Father. So without receiving Spirit of Christ, you cannot even call Abba, Abba Father. So the Spirit of God will come to you after you receiving Jesus Christ. You have to receive Jesus Christ first. Then the Father comes to dwell in you. Otherwise, Father doesn't come. Father will not recognize you. Father only recognizes you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can say, Abba, Father. Until then, you have no relationship with Father. Now these all other religious people, they are talking about God, God. They don't know who God is. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, the Word of God says, no man has seen God anytime. But the Jesus Christ, Son of God, who was in the bosom of Father, he has revealed us who the Father is.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Now who declared us who Father is? Jesus Christ. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, even the Adam, they never saw God face to face. They heard the voice of God. They used to talk to God. According to this word, no man has seen God any time. But the Jesus Christ, who was with the bosom of Father, he was with him all the time. He's the one revealed us who Father is. If you don't know Jesus, you cannot understand Father. So you have to know Jesus. So when the Jesus comes, then Father comes. St. John chapter 14, let's read verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Okay, who is coming? We will come. Who are we? Son and Father comes to dwell in you. If you do not know Jesus Christ, Father cannot come and dwell in you. That's why he said, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. If you do not have Spirit of Christ, you none of his, none of whose, none of God's, none of Christ. So you cannot call yourself Christian. Now you go back to the book of Romans and read verse chapter 8, verse 9 one more time.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Yeah, that's what we have to tell people. If you do not have Christ in you, you are not belong to God, and you are living in flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
If the Christ comes in you, then the body is dead. Means, you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You ask God forgiveness for your sins. And you are not living in sin anymore. You are dead to sin. And you are living in spirit. When you're living in spirit, how are you living? He says, because of the righteousness of God. How did he get the righteousness? We get the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. Our sins are purged or cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, when we stand in front of God, he sees you are righteous. Right standing with God. No sin, no blemish in you. That's what he says. That is the righteousness of God. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, how you got this life of God? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we live in the blood and the righteousness of God, we have this victory. Verse 11.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Jesus Christ always said, My Father and I, we are one. Only one time we see on the cross, he says, my God, why thou art forsaken me? And that was because of sin was laid on him. But now he says, Jesus Christ has that Father Spirit dwelling in him all the time. Now he said that Jesus Christ was raised by the Spirit of God. Now he says, if you have the same Spirit, what Spirit? The Spirit of God. And we read already here in verse 9, we have the Spirit of God because we have the Spirit of Christ. When we have the Spirit of Christ and we have the Spirit of God, even though we die, God will raise us because the same Spirit Christ has, the same Spirit we have. And that's why we will be able to be resurrected. Verse 12.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
We are born again children of God. We have the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ makes us the children of God. And now we are not under the bondage of sin, sickness, death, but we are free from all of this. Why? Because Jesus Christ has set us free. Now we are freely can call God our Father. We have nothing in between us and God because the sins are washed away and we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But many people do not have that courage. They are not going to say, I'm a holy man of God. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy will tell you, hey, you are still living in the flesh. Tell somebody, I am not perfect. I am just ordinary man and I cannot be perfected. So the word of God says, you are now cleansed. You are washed and you are the child of God. Now you are not in a bondage. Now you could say, Abba, Father. You are adopted in the family of God. So we are not under the penalty of death or penalty of sickness or disease. We are set free. So we can call our God Abba Father because the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ living in us. Verse 16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Now Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. What Spirit is talking about? When you have the Spirit of God, you communicate with God by Spirit. We cannot talk to God by flesh. So when we have the Spirit of Christ, and we dwell in the Spirit, we became one with God with the Spirit. God only understands us in the Spirit. We talk to God, even though we're talking with our voice, but if our spirit is not renewed, and if you're living in sin, God will not hear our prayer like we read before. Because sin comes between you and God. But once you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, then we are the children of God and we are calling Abba Father, then we can talk to God and God can talk to us. Then our spirit recognizes the Spirit of God. When you are a Christian, you can recognize the evil spirit. If somebody has the bad spirit, you can sense it. And so when you have the Spirit of God, God's Spirit recognizes you and you recognize God. You are one in the Spirit. And that's why he says, if you are the children of God, then the 18 verse says, okay, 17 and 18.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
So now he is saying, if you are a children of God, and if you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we are not ordinary people. God did not say, okay, I'm going to send my son, and he is my son, but you will be not my son, you will be my slaves. No. Jesus came and he said, I am a son of God, and I am going to make you my brothers. Equally, heirs of salvation. Means he said, I am a king, and I'm going to make you king. I am a son, and you will be son also. So he said, if you have that kind of vision, that God is going to give you joint ministry, means you are with Jesus Christ, together you are partners, and you are the heirs of salvation, and you are the kings and priests in heaven. So what he's saying, then you are going to get all of this glory, what Jesus Christ has. You remember what we learned? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. But once we are born again, we getting back our glory. And now we are in the glory of God. And he says, if you want that glory and you recognize, then in this world, you will have some kind of suffering. Suffering for what? Suffering for the sake of Christ. So when you suffer, and then people do not want to suffer. They say, oh no, I want blessings, but I don't want suffering. If you are a child of God, you are going to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then he says, if somebody set their eyes, what glory they are going to get, then the suffering on this earth, they don't mind. I'll give an example. Just think that lady is pregnant. And she was waiting for the boy or girl to come. And now she is going to have labor pain. And labor pain, she feels like she is dying. But if she starts saying, I do not want this kind of pain. I don't want any children anymore. She is not going to have that glorious child. If that lady's eyes is on a child, then the suffering, she forgets. As soon as the baby comes, she forgets the suffering and start enjoying the child. The same way, if our eyes set on God and godly kingdom and what eternal life is all about, many people do not understand. They said, who wants to go to heaven? All the praising God all the time? I don't want that, that's a boring. They do not know what the heaven is. Some people are picturing the heaven's picture according to what they think. But the heaven, no one can explain. Even the Saint Paul says, the things I heard and saw, I cannot even explain. But he says, once you know what the glory you are going to get, then you cannot compare the problem what you're facing today. This problem is nothing comparing to what you're going to get. But our eyes is not on God, our eyes on our problems. So what happened? Our problem becomes bigger and God becomes smaller. If we magnify the Lord, then our problem will be no more. Because we know our God is greater than any other problems we have. So looking unto Jesus, he says, who is the author and what? Finisher of our faith. Okay, Romans 8:19.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope.
When Adam committed sin, what happened? The curse came to the ground. And curse came to the whole world. Then the Cain committed sin. And the curse came to the whole world. And now each and every person who is living in sin, they are under the bondage of all this sinful activity, and they are trying to get out of this. Even the whole world is groaning with this kind of pain. But for the children of God, there is a hope. We are living in this physical body. We have some limitation, but we are living in hope, and we have a greater hope. Let's read verse 21.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body.
Whole world is under this kind of bondage and pain and growing. We don't understand these creatures on the earth, but only God knows their language. They are all suffering. And why are they suffering? Because of one man's sin. One man committed sin, then the whole world is under the bondage and under the curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Please read.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
So the whole world today is under the curse, groaning, and having pain, and having problems, and they do not know how to get out of it. But thank God we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We are living in a limited body. This body also is having pain. Even though you are born again child of God, that doesn't mean if somebody pricks the needle here and blood will not come and pain won't come. Pain will come, the blood will come. So our body, this body is perishable body. But God has given us grace. This body we are living in is craving for the redemption. He says what? The redemption of our body. First of all, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happens? Our soul is renewed. Means we are new creation. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, if any man in Christ Jesus, means any man or any person in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature or new creation. That means we are completely new. That doesn't mean our body became new. You understand? When somebody gets saved, that body is still same. Same nose, same eyes, same hand, same everything, same color. It doesn't change. Then how can he say you are completely became a new creature or new creation? You know what? Because Adam was created from the dust, right? But the Adam was not the new creation. God was waiting for Adam to pass the test. Adam failed the test. Then God created a new Adam who passed the test. Now we call new Adam. Now when we are adopted in the family of God, we are just like a new Adam, a new creation. So when we are in Christ Jesus, we are new creation. The old creation is not exist in our spirit. Once you are new in the spirit, then you can dominate the body. And the body will follow the spirit. You understand? When you are born again, child of God, that's the person is going to renew the body. See here it says, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. Now people are thinking, Jesus Christ comes and we will be completely transformed in God. It doesn't happen automatically. He says, whoever is living in Christ or dead in Christ, go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Start reading from verse 13.
But I would not have you be to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Dead in Christ rise first. Okay.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
So now here is saying, if you want to go with Jesus Christ, you have to be dead in Christ, means you cannot sinful person dies, it's not dead in Christ. Or if you're alive, you have to be in Christ Jesus. You have to be a new creation. Then your body will transform. Here he's saying, your body will be transformed. We are waiting for the redemption of our body. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus Christ came and changed this mortal body. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and start reading from verse 51, or start reading from even verse 50.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Where is get the victory? Through Lord Jesus Christ. If you live in flesh, you are not going to transform. You are not going to be new creation. So when we are in Jesus Christ, now we defeat the flesh and live in the spirit, and then we have redemption for our body. Once we are born again, children of God, those are the people going to be transformed. Otherwise, all corruptible people who live corruptible life, they are going to be staying in the grave until Jesus Christ comes for the judgment day. But for us, there is no judgment because of Jesus Christ. So now, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. And Jesus Christ will come and transform our body. Okay, go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting from verse 24.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Our Christian life is what? The life of hope and life of faith. If we see something that is not hope, hope is not seen. Hope means it's going to come. And we are living life by faith, believing that our hope is what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come. He will redeem us. He will take us. We will have eternal life. We will live with Him forever. And that is our hope. But if you give up that hope, that means what? You are not living for Jesus. You are not living in spirit. Colossians chapter 3, he says, if you are in Christ Jesus, what you will be doing? You're looking up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand.
If you are born again, child of God, then what you do? You see, or you seek the things of above, where the Christ is. Once we are born again, child of God, we always start thinking about Jesus Christ. When He will come and what we will do for Him. So because our life on this earth is not our life. You know what? St. Paul says, I'm living a life, not mine, but the Christ. Let's read a little bit further.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
When Christ, who is our life, that means we don't have our life. We have the life of Christ. When we say, my life is Christ, and He will come, and then whatever the glory He has, I'm going to get that glory. So my eyes should be on Him. Even though I don't see him, but my spirit should be talking to his spirit. Means we should communicate God with the spirit. Let's come back to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Now you'll understand, because our spirit will talk to God and pray to God. 8:26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
So now he says, we do not know how to pray. Sometimes we are bombarded with problems, sickness, death in the family, financial crisis, or divorce, or child is in drug or alcohol or something like that, and we do not know what to do. At that time, what do? You just tune to God in your spirit. Even though if you don't know how to say or what to say, and if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, just speak in tongues. Many people do not know this because they don't believe in speaking in tongue. So they cannot understand this. But he says, when you start speaking in tongue, your spirit and the Holy Spirit will take over. And then he will intercede for you. And then the things of God you can understand by the Spirit of God. And you will have answer by the Spirit of God. Because God only knows the spiritual language. He can understand any language, but when you are grieved, brokenhearted, that kind of prayer God hears faster. So we have to come to God with a broken hearted and pray in the Spirit, intercede for you and for others in the Spirit, and God will hear our prayer. And the Word of God says sometimes you do not understand why this happened, but you allow God, and if you love God, something good will come out. But tragedy or any problem came and you didn't understand that time, but when you really love God, God says something good will come out of that and you will see the glory of God. Okay, let's read verse 29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified.
Okay, God knows everything, and God knows our future, so we don't have to do anything. We don't call upon God. If God wants to save us, he will save. If he doesn't want to save, he will not save. But God knows everything, but he did not reveal everything to us. So what we have to say is, say, call upon him and he will save you. Call upon him and he will answer you. We have to personally call to God. God says, I know what you want. And before you can ask, I know. But he says, open your mouth and ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you will find. So God is saying, if you need a salvation, you have to come to the Savior. You are not going to get automatically saved. Then once you get saved, then you say, hey, this was a plan of God for me, to save me. God has saved me. God has called me. That's what the Saint Paul says. God has chosen me before the foundation of the world. How do you know? He says, God has chosen me before even I was born. How do you know? Once you get saved, then you could say. Because God knows the future, but he did not reveal to each and every man. If he would have said to every man, you are going to go to hell. And I already predicted that you are going to go to hell. Why he is going to go for a convention, going to church and asking somebody to pray for him? But he doesn't know. Nobody knows. And the Word of God says, God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If that was God wants, then God has not predicted everybody in the same time who is going to go to hell and who is not going to go to hell. He said, I don't want anybody to go to hell. So that's reason we go and preach. In the book of Romans chapter 10 we read, he says, how those people will hear without a preacher? Somebody has to go and preach and tell them about Christ. And then they will come to know. So once you come to the salvation, once you come to God and then say, oh, this was a plan of God for me to be saved. And this was a plan of God for me to get all these blessings. Nobody knew that what family they are going to be born in, Muslim family, Hindu family, or Jewish family, or Christian family. But once we are born into a certain family, and we got saved, and my mom is saved, and my dad is saved, and I'm saved, I say, thank God, this was planned by God. This was the will of God that I should come into this family. Verse 30 we read, verse 31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
If you are a born again child of God, and if you know how you got saved, how did you get saved? Because God sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, and Jesus Christ shed his blood, and he redeemed mankind. Now we belong to God. Now the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gift of God to mankind. Romans chapter 6, we read a few weeks ago that the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means Jesus Christ is a gift for mankind. So he gave his son as a sacrifice, as the redemption plan for us, and he redeemed us with his precious blood, and now we belong to God. And we read a few minutes ago, we are joint heir with Christ. Whatever belonged to Jesus Christ is belong to us. So now he says, people sitting there and complaining and saying, oh Lord, I need this, I need that. And sometimes they doubt, I don't think I'm going to get this. I don't think God can give you this or give you that. He says, think. If he didn't spare his son, he gave his son. Is there anything difficult for God to do it for you? If he gave his son, then other things are easy. That's what he's trying to say. If he sacrificed his son for me and for you, then if I'm asking something, it is not greater than his son. If he gave his son, then he will give me what I'm asking. That's what the faith should come in my heart. My God gave his son for me. So now he says, if he gave his son, other things are not impossible. Other things are very easy for God to do it. He says, only son, only begotten son, he sacrificed. So I should thank God, if he gave his son, he can give me anything what I need. Verse 33.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Meaning say who? He's talking about the devil or anybody. If you are a child of God, there is nobody in the world can go against you. No one has power to make you guilty. When God says he is washed, he is justified, he is sanctified, he is washed in my blood, he is belong to me, then devil has no power to condemn you. You know the Bible says, the devil is what? Accuser of the brethren. So devil comes to accuse you. But he says, no one has power over you if you are justified, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are chosen in the sight of God. Verse 34.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
What Jesus Christ making intercession, or why he is a mediator? Because the enemy is accusing. The word of God says, now you have the power and authority and a grace to come to the throne of God openly. Now the curtain is torn from top to bottom. We have authority to go to presence of God. And we can call Abba Father and go to God. So now we have authority to go to God and talk to God. And that's what the Word of God says. Jesus Christ is the one now in heaven making intercession. He is our lawyer. If the devil comes and tells this brother or this sister committed sin, if that person asks forgiveness, is washed, is cleansed. But in time of Moses, even though he asked forgiveness, devil still say, oh, it's mine. But now devil cannot say. He says, now Jesus Christ is watching over us day and night. The Word of God says, our God never sleeps, never slumbers. He's watching over us day and night, and he's standing in the presence of God, interceding for you and for me. The devil has no power and authority over us. Verse 35. In the chapter 7, he was crying. He was saying, I'm a wretched man. Who will save me? I'm living in flesh. I want to do something good, but I'm doing bad. I don't want to do bad, but I'm doing it. And all these things is changed. Now his thought changed, his idea changed, because he said, now I'm a child of God. God is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. And everything what I need, I have in Jesus Christ. Verse 35, see his dedication now.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Now here is saying, all of these things he said, all the troubles come, the tribulation comes, distress comes, persecutions comes, the famine comes, the nakedness comes, and peril comes, and the sword comes, and all of this comes against the children of God day by day. But he says, every day we are just like a sheep going for slaughter. And we think that nobody cares, and nobody listens, and nobody knows what I'm going through. But the verse 37, please.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
We are more than a conqueror. And we hold on to Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, we will be more than a conqueror. Verse 38.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
No one has power, even though he says angel, or principalities, or the powers, things present, or future things. No one has power to separate us from the what? Love of God. How did we get the love of God? Through Jesus Christ. God is love, and that love we see in Jesus Christ. Once we receive Jesus Christ, we are full of love of God, and no one has power to separate us from Jesus Christ. We are belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. The trouble we are going through in this world for a while, short period of time. But we are victorious. He says, we are overcomers. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have given us victory in Jesus Christ. We are not going to live a defeated life. Because defeated life comes when we're living in flesh and carnal mind. But now we are redeemed. Now we have the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of God. And we are joined here with Jesus Christ. And we are going to live a victorious life. We are going to defeat the enemy. And we will be more than a conqueror. Because no one has power to pull us or separate us from Christ. Give us grace to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, please be seated.